Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran, and we are the co-authors of The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap with our colleague, Stephen Slate.
We want to tell you quick about our solution to addiction coaching packages. They've become very popular. We've had really great success with them. They include the Solution to Addiction Workshops, and we have one for substance use specifically, and then we have one for behavioral issues, specifically PMO and sex addiction. And they also include three 90-minute coaching sessions with either Mark or myself, and 3 months of the online program, and all of our books. The Solution to PMO and Sex Addiction book is now available with our Solution to PMO and Sex Addiction Workshop only. And look at the coaching package is a tremendous value. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to thefreedommodel.org. And at the top of the page, you can choose whichever one you're looking for.
That's right. It's the most effective solution to any addiction in the world.
It is.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, today. Well, first of all, I'm just going to qualify this with I'm just getting over the flu. I was down and out for a full week, election week, actually. I was in bed all week. I was so, so sick. But I'm doing better.
She's doing better, but she'll cough during the presentation here.
A little bit of a cough left.
Yeah. So you're going to hear that. And that's just life.
I'm so sorry.
But we figured she wanted to do this. And I said, let's wait another week. And she said, no, let's get one out. So she's typical Michelle, very dedicated. So you're just going to have to deal
with it. I didn't want to miss a week. And we had pre-recorded a bunch, but we're at the end of them. If we didn't get this one done, you would miss a week.
Yeah.
And I didn't want you to miss a week, especially this time of year.
Okay. So what are we talking about?
We are going to talk about, I've been talking with a few people recently who are long time. And I mean, when I say long time, decades, and they are all, you know, have been leaving or in some part of the process of leaving. And this seems to come up a lot in the fall for whatever reason. And we haven't talked about in a long time, the pitfalls, the problems, the inherent problems with support group recovery in general. And we could have hours worth of a show on this because there is this belief that people need a support group. They need to be around other people in recovery and that there are all these positives to it. And I think we're going to paint that in a little bit different light. If you're somebody who is happy in your AA support group world, stay there. Great. If you're somebody that's questioned it, if you've been in and out and you've struggled, if you've been abused there, then this show is for you because we're going to probably reinforce everything you've ever thought was problematic. And we're probably going to show you that even the things you thought were positive about it really end up not being positive at all.
Yeah. So I think the way I want to start this is an idea that if you believe that you need some sort of recovery, that also means that you don't believe it's possible to move on.
That's right.
So that's a problem. Now, it may not be a problem for the person that sees value in AA or NA or a support group. And so we should probably cover that a little bit. But But what happens is, like Michelle said, eventually you get to the point where you're thinking, this isn't making sense. I'm wasting a lot of time here. I want to be doing other things, but I'm afraid to leave because they've taught me that if I leave, I'm in danger.
Yes.
And so the first thing I want to say is moving on from a drug, alcohol habit or a PMO issue or whatever your fetish might be, isn't dangerous. It's freeing.
It's normal.
And this might be a new idea to you. If you're new to the freedom model, this might come as a bit of a shock, or you might be skeptical that it's possible because you think you're different than the population in general. You're not a normie. You're never going to be okay. And that's a lie, but it's one that if you believe it to be true, it becomes true.
Yes.
So your perception about yourself really matters here. So if you've taken on the identity of support, the need for support, then what's happened is you've taken on the identity of somebody that is different than the population in general, and that you're broken in some way. And I'm here to tell you there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing broken about you. You might feel bad. You might be frightened. You might feel like you need support. You may feel lonely. You may feel a lot of things that are human, but broken is not one of them. And the need for support is unnecessary. Now, sometimes it's nice to have it. And I think we need to start with some, maybe a little bit of levity and reality. And that is, sometimes it's nice to be supported when you're feeling shitty.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, in the sense that do people need other people? I think in general, you know, a connection is to others valuable. In your life is valuable for most people. Most people are not total loners. Although Mark and I have both known loners who didn't need anyone else.
And we're perfectly happy.
Perfectly happy on their own. I think in the general sense of humanity, I think having a connection to people is helpful in life.
But let's talk about that for a minute, because this is a good place to sort of move the conversation. Connection is different than support.
It is very different.
So support is predicated, the need for support is predicated on the idea, like I said, that you're broken or that you're missing something or that you need to be propped up. Right? So you need some sort of crutch, some sort of other external means by which you can live better. And once you put your happiness in some sort of external source, what you're doing is you're at the mercy of that source. Now, if you've been in a marriage and you've gone through rough spots, what you'll find in a painful marriage is that usually it's the pain is based on you've put your eggs in the basket of somebody else's mood. And
well, you're relying on somebody else to make you happy.
Yeah. And when you come home from work and they're not in the right mood or they're saying the wrong things, you place all your happiness in that person and you find that it's incredibly unfulfilling, painful, and causes lots of fights and yada, yada, yada. If you do that on a macro level with yourself, where you say, I need to be supported in this effort for me to quit drinking and drugging or whatever my habit might be, then you're really placing your whole existence on somebody else's shoulders. And that's so dangerous to do because they have no idea what's going on in your mind. They have no idea for your reasons for use. They have no idea why you're doing what you're doing. And certainly in an AA meeting, you're never going to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's never going to happen. You're going to play to the peer group. And your story will morph and you will fall prey to that whole sort of cultish model. So these things get really sticky and people feel a greater sense of support or need for support as time goes on. And they feel more beholden to their sponsors and they don't feel like they're doing the right thing. And they're being given all this advice and they get lost and they think, gee, that advice doesn't really make much sense for me. Well, that's because usually advice is useless. Most of the time, external advice is useless because it doesn't apply to what is actually really happening in your life.
Well, here's the scary thing I mean, if there is a scary part about this whole support group idea, and especially the sponsor-sponsee relationship specifically in AA, it's that I can tell you, after sponsoring hundreds, that I didn't even know what was how I was staying sober. Like
That's the whole true
AA premise and support group premise is a little bit magical and mystical. And so, you know, there was, you know, my logical side was saying, well, I'm staying sober because I'm choosing to, because I don't want to drink heavily anymore.
Right. Incredibly simple.
So simple. But then the spiritual part of it seemed very mystical. And so I knew intuitively that I didn't know what was in somebody else's heart and mind. And so I felt like a bit of a, I don't want to say poser, but when people started asking me to sponsor them and they came in droves asking me to sponsor them, you know, I remember thinking, I have no idea what I would say to people because I honestly don't know.
Well, yeah, how you did it.
How I did it. I didn't, honest to God, I didn't know how I did it until 2016 when I read the first 10 chapters of the Freedom Model. I mean, that's when I was like, oh my God, Mark and Steven actually figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And the irony of ironies with all of this is that it's people make a decision based on values, based on what they value of one thing over another. And it's nothing greater than that. The reason we had to write a 470 page book to explain all of it was because there's so much bullshit out there that we had to undo. I'd say 80% of the book is undoing mythology.
Yes.
Very little of the Freedom Model has anything to do with a technique to quit. It all has to do with clearing away all the bullshit so that you can see, well, what are my choices going to be? You know, and then, and then figuring out how to match your external choices, your decisions based on your internal values, what you actually want in your life, and figuring that out. And when you figure that out, you just move on. You just move on because you're like, oh, I'm a decision-making creature. This is all internal. This is all me. This is all me deciding. There, I don't need a sponsor to decide for myself. What that would be weird.
Yeah.
But an AA and 12 steps and treatment and recovery is weird. It's completely weird. It's totally abnormal. It's why you think about it. Why else would you be in recovery and then almost jealously say, well, I'm not a normie.
Right. I'm not like you. I'm not like normal people.
Yeah. Once I start, I can't stop. See, these are all lies that we tell ourselves because everybody I've talked to, over 27,000 people that me and Michelle have coached, every single one of them were able to stop at some point.
Yeah.
And most multiples of times, hundreds of times, thousands of times, depending on how long their career with their habit was, where they stopped with impunity. But they ignore that fact to the narrative of this recovery model that you can't stop. And you need this external thing to prop you up because you're weak. You're not weak. You've never been weak. You've just chose something that has you very confused. And that's what our whole workshop model is about. Coaching model is to clear confusion, to clarify why you do what you do, and give you exercises where you can go, oh my God, I now see it from a different perspective. I see reality. I see that I'm the operative force. I have a mind. I'm a thinking creature. I'm a choosing creature. And I've been choosing this. Why? For 10 reasons that I just listed on paper. And are they valid? And can I challenge them? Yes, you can challenge those reasons. Let's do that. Are they true? Yes, no, yes, no, 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 no. Well, now I have two reasons that were valid. Okay. Are they something you want to keep? Well, they're really not that big a deal. No, I want to move on. Done.
Yeah. I mean, there is a difference between believing you need ongoing support to stay sober. And I said this in a video the other day, to stay sober one day at a time, which really what that means is I feel deprived of this thing I love one day at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm depriving myself every day, which if you look at people that are long-term sober, that in and of itself is bullshit, because that doesn't last. Most people are going to give in to the thing
that they love,
that they love at some point. And James Clear wrote, I saw something today that he wrote that was wrong. And because he said that exact thing, and then he talks about replacement.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I know. And so a lot of really smart people get this wrong. You don't have to deny yourself what you love. I mean, that the whole premise of support group is that I'm denying myself something that I'm always going to love.
Yeah, that's so true.
Right?
That's so true. And so sad.
And very sad, because even people that I've met in the years we were in AA, and we were in AA about 10 years, like as active members, not quite 10 years, really. We were on our way out the last few years. There were many people that came that didn't really love it anymore. We're ready to move on. Then, and I was one of them, and I think you were one of them, then got caught up in this whole recovery movement, almost going through the motions of saying, oh yeah, I do still love it. And it is hard one day at a time. No, most of us were ready to move on when we, if you are being honest, you're just being tied to your past for no good reason.
That's right. So here's what's interesting to know. And Michelle said this in the middle of what she just said. The people that have long-term sobriety, the gurus sit around and talk about, there are two types of gurus. They sit around and talk about how much they wish they could go back and drink and drug.
Like normal people.
And they're tortured by alcohol still after 20 years, and they take it one day at a time. And then there are the gurus who say they don't crave anymore.
And they were relieved of the obsession.
They were relieved of the obsession. And neither are really quite true. What these people all have in common is that they've found more value in a meeting room and being top dog than they do in a bar or in their sofa at home with a scotch. So it's a pretty simple thing to the guru. The guru loves to be
a guru.
Now, I was a big book thumping guru for a period of time.
Me too.
And but that status quickly became sort of torturous for me, because I never really wanted to be that. I became that only because I became a student of research, and I knew more than most about the paradigm. And so people were attracted to that. And we were doing something different with it. We were slowly morphing away, and people were interested in that. And I quickly learned over a matter of a few years, this isn't a position I like. I don't like this. It's weird. The whole thing is just creepy. And I just want to move on with my life. And I don't know how the hell this is all happening. And so I matriculated out through research and through the freedom model. I realized I don't crave. I haven't craved since the day I quit. I mean, 1988, I don't sit and think about it. Nope. I had moved on. And once I came to grips with the fact that this whole apparatus that I was injected into as a child, this cult, wasn't needed. It was like, oh, thank God,
yes.
I'm so tired of being a part of this weird world.
Like playing a charade.
Yes. Yes. Totally playing a charade. My alcohol problem was 6 years long. And the only reason it was a problem in the end was because of the narrative I got as a kid in AA.
That's right.
And
me too.
It fueled the last 2 years of my drinking and drugging into a wicked pattern that was seriously problematic and could have killed me.
Well, yeah, you could have died. But I could have died.
For real. I mean,
yeah, I overdosed.
Yeah, multiple overdoses, mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. So once I got away from AA, I was able to look back and go, oh my God, you know, all of this is predicated on something that isn't even true. Nobody is a drug addict. Nobody is an alcoholic. If you even use those words to describe yourself, what you're doing is you're casting yourself into a myth and a framework that is your own self prison. It's a prison of your own. Alcohol and drugs do not have powers. They have powers to mess with your body, your flesh, but it doesn't have the power to change your mind for you.
No.
And once you fully understand this, and it may take coaching and it may take our workshops to get there. I mean, that's just reality. It's why we build these damn things and we make them affordable for anybody, you know, so that you can quickly pull apart all the crap that you've been taught. And trust me, I'm going to start writing the book on smoking. Smoking is purely a marketing exercise. You've been taught things by a massive marketing agenda, and smoking can get over very quickly.
And most people do.
And you can do that with heroin, with methamphetamine, or any of them. The marketing is a little deeper with those things and not so easy to explain because they're massively cultural and there's a lot more baked into it because of the active placebo of the drug taking effect in your body, much more than smoking. So it becomes a little more complex, but it doesn't need to be. Once you see it for the matrix it is, you go, oh my God, I can just move on with this. I don't need support. And everybody, and Michelle will attest to this, that realizes the truth about their habit and that it's really all in their mind. When they have that realization to a man or a woman, they say, is it really this simple?
Yes.
And I go, yeah, yeah. All that other shit is a lie. And when they see the matrix for the lies that it is, and you kind of put that over here, what you're left with is you, your mind, and choice.
Yep.
But all this other stuff clouds that reality.
Yeah.
And so you don't need support. You need the truth. And you need a vehicle to give you the truth. Now, whether that's this podcast coupled with YouTube, coupled with the book or just the book, or a workshop, or coaching in a workshop, or coming up and spending 2 days with Michelle and I and deconstructing your binge construct, or you just doing it on your own by reading the abridged ebook. I don't care what it takes. We've built all of this so that you get to pick on your own, and then you can decide whether you want to work with us. And that's how this works. Yeah. That's how it works. It doesn't have to cost you 30 grand and leaving and going to long-term treatment and then being in recovery for the rest of your life. Really? Do you want to pay that price?
And hiring a sober coach to follow you around and knock drugs out of your hand.
And no, babysit you.
You don't need any of that. You don't need any of that. I think probably one of the worst, problems of this support group addiction recovery ideology is chaining yourself to a problematic habit forever. Yeah. Forever. I mean, just on its face, it's negative. It's identifying yourself by one behavior that you probably developed in your adolescence. I mean, really, do you want to be chained to your adolescence until you're 60 years old?
Or let's say you're the person that started drinking heavily as a senior. Let's say that's a smaller population, but let's say you're that person. Do you still want to be chained to your senior years with purposeless drinking and living in a myth that it's going to make the senior years better? Meanwhile, your health is being crushed by it. Meanwhile, your relationships are being strained by it. Meanwhile, and you go on and on and on, and you say to yourself, something's amiss. Something's amiss. Well, what's amiss is your view of alcohol as a coping mechanism, as a relief for boredom, as this massive part of your life. That's the problem, is that you see reasons for use that aren't real. That aren't really giving you what you think it's giving you, which is why your life becomes unfulfilled and filled with problems, even though you think you're getting all these benefits. Do you see the incongruency of that? So once you start to get in that weird pool, then it's time to ratchet back and go, wait a minute, maybe what I'm thinking isn't accurate. Maybe my view about alcohol and drugs and or drugs is inaccurate. Let me go to the freedom model and see where it's inaccurate. See where my thinking is not in alignment with objective truth about this substance. Right. And then you can problem solve it. And then if you are a senior or if you're middle-aged or you're an adolescent or you're in your 20s with a massive problem, shooting heroin, whatever it might be, you can problem solve this very quickly, very quickly. Our most popular option by far now is the workshop coupled with three sessions and people get over their problem.
Yeah, within a month. Within a month, you're done.
Done. At home.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds hard to believe, but it's just sweeping away mythology. You're given all the tools, everything, the books, the workshop, the video lessons, the online program and coaching, all in that package. You will not have to wonder anymore.
It's amazing to me why mental health professionals still are recommending support group meetings and 12-step meetings for people struggling with addictions because it shouldn't be amazing to me because there was a period of time when mental health was all about we're going to help you with this temporary problem and you're going to find a solution and move on with your life. And today it's not about that. It's about diagnosing people, putting them on medications. The diagnosis is forever. And, you know, and you don't, even with mental health now, everything gets a diagnosis. A diagnosis is thought to be lifelong and mental health diagnoses are not lifelong. They're not. Research shows that that's true. They've only become lifelong in the last 25, 30 years when pharmaceuticals are running the show. It's one of the biggest businesses in the world.
Yeah.
Tons of profits on getting people labeled and put into a system that they're in forever. So whether that's putting your dollar in a basket, going to a pharmacy to get your medications, going to a psychiatrist, all behavioral problems are temporary. All of them are temporary. That's what all the research shows. That's what all the data shows. And so it makes zero sense to go to a meeting and sit and talk about something you did yesterday, something you did a year ago, something you did 10 years ago.
And then identify as that problem. Your identity is the problem, right? I mean, that is so detrimental.
So terrible.
And unnecessary.
I mean,
it's just unnecessary.
I'm reminded about working with a woman years ago now who had a DWI with her kids in the car. So that becomes an instant felony, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's advised, she has to go to rehab, right? She chose rehab over jail. Who wouldn't? You have kids. And she advised her to go to rehab and then AA. And so I remember saying to her, so you think that you need to go to AA for the rest of your life to talk about something that happened to your kids to you and your kids when they were little, something you did forever. That becomes your identity as a mom. That becomes your identity as a wife. That becomes your identity as a professional person. Really? You think that's positive? You think that's helpful to you? Oh, but I got to keep it green. No, you fucking don't.
Right. I always hated the you got to keep it green. You got to keep it in the forefront of your mind. The last drunk or you haven't had it yet. I mean, talk about a trap.
Sorry.
That's okay.
And when I laugh, it makes me cough.
Yeah, it's okay. So yeah, there's nothing positive about remembering your last drunk so you haven't had it yet.
No.
I mean, that's insane. Forget your last drunk. Move forward happily.
Yes.
Happily.
Yes. Become the mom you always wanted to be. Become the wife you always wanted to be. Become the professional person you always wanted to be. The way to solve a problem is to leave, to learn from it and move forward with your life. That's how you solve a problem. That's how you move on from trauma. That's how you live a happier life. As we talked about it in the last few podcasts, you live in the present because that's the only thing you can do.
That's right. That's right. That's where you live.
That's where you live. You don't live in yesterday.
And you don't live in the future either. You live right now in this moment. And where are you? And what are you going to decide for yourself right now? What actions are you going to take right now to change your life? And then just follow the breadcrumbs of progress. That's how humans evolve.
Yeah.
It's why we have the positive drive principle. It's why the universe or God or whatever made it as part of conception, that we are always moving forward based on what we believe benefits us.
Yes.
Not, we don't make decisions based on negatives. If we do, they don't last very long. That's just the way it is.
Yes. So in closing, the way to solve your problem is not to sit around in church basements and talk about it every day. The way to solve your problem is to learn the truth and get rid of all of that mythology. Get rid of all the stuff you've learned your whole life about substances, about yourself, about addiction. It's all wrong. And then evaluate, how much do I still really like this? And can I be happier making a change? And I guarantee you, once you strip away all the mythology, all the beliefs you have, it gets super easy to move on.
That's right. I got nothing to add. That's good.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. And hopefully I won't be coughing.
All right, everybody. Take care. Have a great day.